Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we wish to continue in our present series of studies, which we have entitled Further Studies in Selected Psalms. And the psalm which we wish to consider today is a short one. It's the 110th psalm, but a very important psalm. It's quoted in the New Testament. And we wish to just read the psalm through from beginning to end, and then we will expound it later in the broadcast. And here is the psalm as it is recorded. Verse 1, the Lord said unto my Lord, and incidentally, before I read, I want to say that this is a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Now this is very, very meaningful. Because it's David that makes this statement. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thy foes thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Remember, David is still speaking to his Lord. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink at the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. This is the entire psalm. 7 verses. Now we want to consider the Lord's use of Psalm 110, and then we want to consider Paul's use of Psalm 110, and then David's use of it, the anticipation of the coming king. In Matthew chapter 22, the Lord is accosted by his opponents, the Pharisees and the Herodians. They teamed up together. They wanted to get the Lord Jesus Christ in trouble with the Roman government. So they ask him a question. Then the Pharisees and they took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Now the Lord Jesus Christ, if he says, yes, give tribute to Caesar, he's in trouble with the Pharisees. Now if he says no, then he's in trouble with the Herodians. It was a trick question. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he said unto them, whose is the image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. When they heard these words, they marveled, and left him and went their way. And then the Sadducees came along. They had a question. The same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there's no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Moses, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there was with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased. And having no issue, he left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh, and last of all the woman died. Therefore in the resurrection whose wife shall she be of the 7? For they all had her, and incidentally they left, none of them left any seed. None of them had any children. And Jesus answered them and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, had ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? Now you notice it's the present tense. It's not, I was the God. It's, I am the God. of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. They had never thought of that. They had never thought of that scripture. I am the God of Abraham. Not I was. I am. Abraham was living. This was spoken years and years after Abraham existed, after he was gone. And Jacob and Isaac, all three of them, they were gone. And yet God says, I am the God of Abraham. They were living. They had to be. And then the Pharisees come along. When the Pharisees had heard that he put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, and lawyers can ask questions, believe me, he asked him a question, tempting him, saying, Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Now here is the subtlety of his question. If God says one commandment is greater than the other, that reduces the others to lesser importance. Is this the way the Christ will treat the law of Moses? Well, let's listen. Which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength. This is the first and great commandment. The second is likened unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Perfect love to God, first of all, and perfect love to your neighbor. That sums up the Ten Commandments in one sentence. Now, when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, it's his turn now, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. And you notice, he's using the words of the 110th Psalm. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now here's the Lord's answer. Now they had tried to trip him up. Their questions were to get him in trouble, but his question was to bring them eternal blessing. He quoted this psalm, and he says, Indeed, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. Well, he is. The Christ is the son of David, but he's also David's Lord. And you know, they never thought of that. It was David who wrote that psalm. They never thought of that. It never occurred to them. How could he be his son and yet his Lord? Well, the answer was standing right in front of them. Christ, God, manifested in human flesh. David's son and David's Lord in the same person. The Messiah. You know, if they had considered that and gone into the depth of the meanings of the Lord, his question was for their good. Their questions were for evil. They wanted to get him in trouble. And if they'd only considered that this was God manifest in the human flesh. Human flesh, why? So he could die on the cross for your sins and for mine? God took the responsibility for sin coming into the universe. Now, he wasn't to be blamed. The Satan is the one to be blamed. He was the one that introduced it into the universe. But God took the responsibility of getting it out of his universe. And so the Lord Jesus Christ came as a man, so he could die as a man for man's sins. And your sins and my sins were placed on Christ on the cross. And he paid for them as a man. And as God, he lives forever. Oh, blessed person, God manifest in human flesh. Now, Paul's use for the 110th Psalm is in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priesthood which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but within all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now we read in the next chapter, So Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, But he that said unto him, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee, saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now you see, the Apostle Paul, and if we cord the Hebrew epistle to him, and I believe he did write it, is using the 110th Psalm to show that Christ was a priest after the order of Melchizedek, not after the order of Aaron. Aaron's priests were born that way. They were not made priests by an oath, but our Lord Jesus Christ, as by an oath, was made our great high priest in Psalm 110. And that's a wonderful psalm. You remember that the Lord hath sworn in verse 4 of Psalm 110, and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The truth of the matter is, David saw him in his twofold office as prophet, well, really in his threefold office as prophet, priest, and king. And he mentions that in verses 1 and 2 of the psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. Christ is in heaven, sitting on the throne of God. What's he doing? He's our great high priest, pleading for us. And he's now exercising that office as our great high priest, right now, in heaven, as he sits at the throne of God. But then he says, The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. And we read in verse 5, The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings. This is the conquering king that is going to come and subdue the world to himself and then reign in Jerusalem as the greatest king of all, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ. That is going to take place. And let me tell you something. That could take place in 7 years. Now, I'm unfair at the end of the broadcast to make a statement like that without enlarging upon it. But our Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth and reign. They put him on a cross. They sent him back to heaven. They put him on a cross. They said, We will not have this man to reign over us. That's what they said. But he's going to reign. And David knew it. And David wrote of this, our wonderful Lord and Savior, in Psalm 110. And how wonderful it is to see this psalm treated so wonderfully and given such importance in the New Testament. Oh, David, you wrote so well of your blessed Lord. He is your Lord and your Son as well. And thank God, he's our Savior. At least I can say he's my Savior. Can the listener say he's your Savior? Can you say amen? What a wonderful person our Christ really is. Father, help us to really appreciate the Psalms as we should. This is the last of the series. Father, make the Psalms good, we pray, to those who listen in Christ's name. Amen.